Check it out. Gas prices blowing up sky high. Ditch my used subcompact for a two-wheel drive. Now I'm rolling eco-friendly, but I still look bad. When the bike store saw my credit, they said this was all they had. I'm singing F to the R to the E to the E to the C to the R to the E D I T. Free to the port to the dot to the com. Come on, everybody, grab your bike and sing along. It's easy. F to the R.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life, but it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch, go to a park or visit a zoo, help your child with their homework, sit down together for dinner, ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short, but the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Tuesday, January 12th, 4:52 p.m. Children were playing. Parents were working. Millions of people were going about their daily lives.
For hundreds of thousands of them, they could not know that they were spending their last minute on this earth. 70 seconds later, a 7.0 earthquake would utterly decimate the country of Haiti.
We said when we broke the news live on the air that this was going to be bad, but nobody imagined just how bad. During the course of today's show, we will be listing relief agencies that you can donate to in order to help our fellow man. We here at the show ask that you give what you can. Even if it is just a dollar, it helps.
We'll start with the American Red Cross. 1-800, help now.
This is Jim Alger, and this is Common Sense.
Oh, say, can you see?
Why do the Republicans hate America?
Their only play right now at Congress is to hope the Democratic Party fails.
The airport experience is an abomination, and the airlines, for example, have capitalized on our fear and on our worries.
America comes in 37th in terms of the quality of care and its affordability.
I can't afford health care, you know, as it stands.
I just want to say Congressman King is an idiot.
It's not even us in the U.S., it's us in China now.
It's us in China.
It's going to be us,
it's us, Russia,
it's
and China.
Us, the EU.
I don't know why in the world we would have anybody like this as a congressman to make such a blatant, idiotic statement.
Oh, please, Mayor Antonio, please shut up. Don't say anything. Just be quiet.
The insurance industry has been accused of running a shadow campaign here, pretending to cooperate on one hand, and yet funding the kind of accusations that we hear coming up in the mainstream media while disavowing and washing their hands of it.
We are in the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression.
The buzzword of the day is not torture. The buzzword of the day is enhanced interrogation techniques.
Can we just agree to call it torture?
Phone lines are open from Washington, D.C., 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514. From the rest of the United States, you can reach us at 415-762-1161. That's 415-762-1161. If you are joining us this evening from the United Kingdom, good morning to you. 020-3286-6728. 020-3286-6728 to speak with us live here in the studio.
And we're going to come straight up this afternoon talking about something that I think is really, it's kind of touched the nerve with parents across the country. And that is a story out of New York about a 12-year-old girl who's been arrested or was arrested, handcuffed, for doodling on her desk. And I think that we have to have a conversation in this country about zero tolerance policy. So right off the gate, we're going to talk about this. I'm going to bring Jency and Natalie, who's always with us every week, into the fold here. Hello, people.
Hey, hey.
Hey.
Y'all are peoples now. You're like my peeps.
Oh, no.
But
that's scary.
Yeah, I've been. Well, which part? The 12-year-old getting arrested or being my peeps?
Being your peeps.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'll go with the girl being arrested because I want to make it onto the good list.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. I mean, arrested for doodling on her desk? I mean, come on, what is the world coming to?
Oh, well, and I don't know. Okay, I'm going to read what she wrote on there, and if you have to beat me out because of the expletives that are laced within it, feel free to do so. She wrote in green pen or marker, I love my friends Abby and Faith. Lex was here. 2-1-10, smiley face.
You got to sound like Sarah Palin when you do that.
If Sarah Palin sounds like a 12-year-old, then okie doke.
I rest my case.
You betcha.
two things. One, to all the kids that are listening, when you are committing your felonies, please don't leave your name behind.
Don't write in anything but pencil.
And I mean, yes, there's a problem. There's two facets to this story. One is the fact that this girl was in fact committing a crime.
Is it a crime?
It is a crime to deface public property. It most certainly is.
Criminal damage.
When you do that, punishment is clearly in order. I don't think anyone would even dispute that. I think that there's a little bit of disingenuousness by saying, well, she was doodling. No, she wasn't doodling. She knew exactly what she was doing. She was scrawling something onto the desk so as to make an impression to other people who were there later. Now,
oh, come on now.
No.
Write on your desk in school?
We're not talking about me. And I am just merely pointing out the fact that what she did was, in fact, you know, vandalism and vandalism of public property. So I just want to set that aside. I don't want to act like she did
nothing. Come on, this is a 12-year-old.
I'm not.
When do the punishment should be detention, not criminal
prosecution.
Seriously,
detention.
If you girls would back down a hair, you'd understand what I'm saying. I want to set aside the idea.
Okay, all right.
That, yes, what she was doing was wrong. Punishment is clearly in order. And cleaning desks for a week sounds like a really good thing that I think that should be having these kids do, or something like that. Now, on the flip side of that is the public's visceral reaction to graffiti and vandalism and so forth, thereby creating these zero tolerance policies in the first place.
Do you think that there's a little bit of, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there, a little bit of racism there? Because, you know, graffiti is generally, you know, gang-oriented and that sort of thing. But at the very core of it, like you're saying, it is, you know, vandalism of public property. If somebody had written, you know, on a wall, I love my friends, you know, whatever, people might not take so strongly to it as, you know, saying Crips rock, or I don't know.
Actually, I can tell you, I think they would take offense to it because I don't care. Why are you writing that on my garage door? I think that is there is a problem with that side of it. Now, here's the flip side, though, and this is where I preach on my soapbox every single day that people should be involved in politics, and the response I get from those that are not involved is it doesn't matter to me. Well, all those people didn't matter to is why their kids are sitting in jail with zero tolerance policies and now have criminal records. And we're going to talk about this in the weeks and months ahead. And we have Mark Klass on. We're going to talk about the rage of teenage sexting and how kids are actually being thrown in jail and labeled sex offenders, being placed on sex offender registries.
That's insane.
For texting naked pictures to their boyfriends. This is crazy. We have to – my personal belief, and you guys can tell me what you think about this, is there needs to be either they're kids or they're not kids. In other words, if they're a child, then they don't get to get handcuffs at 12. Now, yes, there's always going to be that anecdotal, you know, child that knows he's a child and thinks he can get away with it and he blows up the world and shoots his parents and kills the cat. I get it. There's always going to be that guy.
Right.
right.
But let's remove that guy. Let's stop making our laws for the one person and start making them for the 99.9% of the rest of us.
Well, you know, I have been going after my local city council members for a number of weeks over this issue. They are going to be voting next week on curfews for children under 16, 17, something like that, which I am completely opposed to because they're telling parents that they can or cannot allow their children out on the street in the evenings. And beyond, in addition to that, you know, if you look at the crime statistics on when kids commit the crimes that they're hoping to prevent by having this curfew, they aren't supported. Kids that do those, commit crimes, mostly do them after school and before 8 o'clock in the evening.
Well, here's a better one for you. Where is the GOP and the right wing and the teabaggers complaining about government involvement there?
Well, I'm complaining about it, but some of the same conservatives.
But you're not one of those people.
No, but some of the same conservative council members are that, you know, would be out at a tea party are sitting there thinking, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Well,
yeah,
you know, you're either
for
limited government involvement or are not.
Well, we have the same, we have, here, we have a high youth crime rate.
For those who don't know where here is, Natalie's in the UK.
Well, I think
and that's not Kentucky for you, basketball fans.
I think that people can tell that from my accent, Jim. But,
not necessarily. I know it's hard to believe, but we have British people here in the United States. And they keep their accents.
Here in the United Kingdom, we have something called an ASBO, which means antisocial behavior order, and it's done nothing to prevent the youth crime in this area.
It never does. This stuff never does anything to reduce.
But it makes these legislators and it makes these local school board members and county commissioners, all that, it makes them think they're doing something when what they're doing is nothing. They're not addressing any of the issues that underlie any of that.
I think what we need is something, right? I think we need more program, more youth programs.
Yeah, after school programs.
You sound like you're starting to talk about socialistic programs here.
What's wrong with socialistic programs?
We're not going to have that conversation in the United States because the argument is it's socialism and they don't want to talk about it because they're too dumb to realize the difference between socialism and communism. That's a whole other show. The stupidity that reigns in this country, Natalie, is I'm sorry, I'm with Bill Maher. We live in a stupid country. The fact that
we're not so great ourselves.
We have children being thrown in jail for bringing an aspirin to school. Another kid, the prosecutor in Northern California, literally, I'm not making this up, I swear, attempted to throw a 6-year-old child in jail and for getting into a fight in school. It makes no sense to me whatsoever that is the case. I want to know what a prosecutor is thinking who's putting trying to put a child in jail for getting into a fight in the yard. I want to know what people think about this type. You know, according to our demographics, the primary people who listen to my show are single parents. And it's why I brought this issue up. I look at the paperwork and it says, oh, these people are single parents. That's who listens to your show. Okay, cool. So I'm going to bring this up because, guys, these are your kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's one kid who went to Boy Scouts at a school. They gave him a pocket knife. The next day he brought that pocket knife to school to show his
friends. And I think he asked his teacher if he could, didn't he?
I don't know if he asked or not.
Maybe that was a different...
They tried to expel this kid from school. This kid's a Boy Scout. They're trying to throw him out of school. Where do we, without trying to plug the show too much, where do we inject common sense? Where do we draw why can we not draw a distinction between the child who's bringing a pocket knife to show and tell and the child who's bringing a handgun to school.
Do you think political correctness and fear of being called a racist or something like that is maybe behind this zero tolerance? Because then, you know, you've got 25 kids in November that were involved in a food fight at a middle school in Chicago. 25 kids got arrested. You know, they can just say we're arresting all of them. And if you happen to use common sense, then, and you don't have a blanket policy, then somebody could say, well, you just singled me out. Well, dude, you know, you brought a shank to school, and little Jimmy over here had a spork. Seriously.
It certainly seems possible. I don't know, because I don't know what I would use to have that, you know, to say that that's the case. I don't know what the numbers would say, but I think more parents need to get involved, and they need to get involved proactively. If you're listening to the mm-hmm. show, you should be proactive. You should be finding out, does your school have a zero tolerance policy on drugs? And what does that mean? Does that mean if your child goes to school with an aspirin, they're going to go to jail? A lot of people at first brush say, no, of course it doesn't mean that. In a lot of schools, it means that they're being sent home and they're being expelled for drug use. And that's going to go in your child's CUM card or whatever they call it in your state, that your child brought drugs to school.
My son has a peanut allergy, and he would not be allowed to carry his EpiPen with him because it would be classified as having drugs. You know, you've got to go through this lengthy process, and it has to be kept by the school nurse and da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know, if you're going in anaphylaxis, you kind of need to have it right there.
I would argue the ADA should cover that. I mean, there's just – we have to get common sense back into this, and we have to know what the hell it is that we're doing and why. And these are our kids. This is the world that we're making. And when you talked about the
EpiPen.
You know, we got to go to break, so we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Not to dance, you burn as you go. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow. Don't worry about what you don't know. Not to dance, you learn as you go.
Hi, this is Jim Alger with a message for all the guys out there. There's a lot more to me than what you hear on the radio. Did you know that I'm also a dad? Have you ever wondered what the secret to being a great dad is? Well, here's a clue. Dad is a verb. It's not just something you are. It's something you do. Like hanging out and listening and laughing and reading and playing. Boy, do kids love playing. But mostly, kids love dads who take the time to be there. That's the secret. Give them your time. Have you been a dad today?
See, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen.
A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, the Ad Council, and this station.
Common Sense Economics Rule Number 8. A corporation that makes billions in profits should not stick taxpayers with the bill for their employee benefits. Walmart's record profits have made the Walton family the richest in America. But because they fail to offer affordable health coverage to 700,000 workers, taxpayers shell out billions for government care. Why should taxpayers bail out a corporation making record profits? Walmart can afford to be a better employer. Now would be a good time to start.
I was raised Irish Catholic. We had Jesus on one wall and JFK on the other. I've always had an impassioned love for this country, even when I disagree with it. So many people like to wrap themselves in the flag, forgetting what it stands for. That beacon of hope for people who had so little reason to hope. A people who believe that we could leave our children a world better than when we arrived. None of us are perfect, but politicians seem to have a knack for hypocrisy. It's because truth gets left behind when they arrive in Washington, choosing to win instead of doing the right thing. We've all seen the worst of our country. I would like to show my children the best. That's why I'm here. Tune in to Common Sense with Jim Alger. www.getcommonsenseradio.com. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514 from Washington, D.C., or really the entire eastern half of the United States. From the West Coast, you can reach us at 530-413-4511, 530-413-4511.
It is the political sand trap to end all political sand traps if you listen to the GOP promote the event. But Barack Obama is going to be holding a healthcare summit this coming Thursday on live TV after nearly 12 months of bickering and ranting and raving about healthcare reform in what has been not the longest debate, but certainly the longest public debate of my memory of any issue here in the United States. It has been lied about, squawked about, BS'd about, stretched, railed against by the right that will not give this thing one single vote at all. And now the new thing that some people, including people I know personally, are doing is they are hanging their hat on the election of Scott Brown. And they're saying, see, the election of Scott Brown is the rebuke of President Obama's policy. So what he should do is listen to the people and stop trying to push health care through. Here is the problem with that. Scott Brown was elected in the state of Massachusetts. Scott Brown was not elected in the state of California, Nebraska, Iowa, Virginia, Florida, Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina. I could go on all night. He was elected in the state of Massachusetts. Barack Obama, as a cornerstone of his campaign, was health care reform. Barack Obama won in a landslide. And just over 12 months ago, 13 months ago now, he was inaugurated president of the United States after winning that election. One of the main campaign promises was health care reform. I'm going to posit the argument that the national election means something, and that the local election, while it means something in Massachusetts, should not be extrapolated to suddenly mean that the family in Washington State changed their mind. It's ridiculous. It's also important to note that the people who voted for Scott Brown in mass, a good high percentage of them, did not vote for Barack Obama in the first place. So it's not like the people who supported Barack now suddenly don't. The president is still polling over 50% in the polls. He hovers around there. I was listening to Joe Scarborough this morning talk about how great that is. Now, if you listen to the GOP, oh, my God, he lost all this. No, it's actually pretty darn good to be hovering around 50%. And FYI, no president in history has ever lost re-election when they're at 50%. None. The general cutoff is down around 46, 47%.
I think Jimmy Carter went down to 38, didn't he?
Yeah, president, and he lost.
Carter,
and he lost.
Yeah. So, you're right there.
The rule is about 46 to 47%, and if they stay above that, they're fine. If they get below that, they're still generally okay, because people can break at the last minute back for them, but it's iffy ground. Now, this is so important to me, because we have watched people, first of all, unfortunately, the majority of the electorate out there doesn't know what the heck they're talking about. I got a letter from a friend of mine, and that individual told me that they felt that it was not a correct thing for wages and so forth to be covered by physicians, for the government to decide what the wages and stuff were for physicians, nurses, medical staff, and so forth, to be determined by the government. I really like this person. I consider them a friend, but they don't know what they're talking about. Because nowhere, anywhere, in any bill, any place, does it say the government's running this. This is insurance, people. It's insurance. It's not the doctor working for the government collecting a federal check. Will we get our head out of our butts with this government-run health care? I watched Mitt Romney at CPAC, and we'll talk about this next segment, rail against, I'm not even kidding, he made the ultimate argument. He railed against government-controlled medical services, and the same exact sentence, not even barely taking a breath,
said, how dare the Democrats propose cutting $500 million from Medicare?
Yeah.
Nobody's proposing any cuts to Medicare.
I don't think they are, but it's not. That's not the point. He said this in the same sentence. Now, Dick Cheney had a heart attack yesterday. I don't wish that on former Vice President Cheney. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But he's enjoying government health care right now. You know who else has government health care? Every single member of our United States Armed Forces. This is
and every single member of Congress.
Well, actually, they don't. The members of Congress have government insurance. Government health care is run by the military. So if you go into a military hospital, that's government health care. If you go and get – if you're part of the federal government system, you get a buffet of insurance companies you can choose, and they decide – and you decide how much you're going to pay, and you check off which one you want. Some employers now offer you multiple choices, but this would provide you with many more choices. So we really have to understand what it is that we're actually talking about. Now, there are certainly things in this healthcare debate that can be debated, that may not be agreed upon. The public health option is a question. I don't know if it would work or not. I know the left wants it, and frankly, because the left wants it, the right doesn't. I don't know if it would work or not. I would have been okay and still am okay with the trigger. The left wing doesn't like that. The right wing doesn't want anything. But the
okay,
thing is,
can you just explain to us what the trigger is?
The trigger is that if insurance rates in the general insurance pool don't come down by X date, that triggers a public option that then the government comes in and provides. Basically, the government sets up what amounts to its own insurance company. And so you've got government insurance company competing with Blue Cross, Blue Shield, you know, and let's talk about – oh, yeah, I can say it because they'll bleep me on the stations. Let's talk about those assholes at Anthem Blue Cross, shall we? That raised their rates on their people 40%. 40%.
I just don't understand why the right is so opposed to government health care.
No, this is what Americans don't understand. What Americans don't understand is that at the rate that we're going, not even at the rate, guys, ladies and gentlemen, at 20% of the rate we are going, we will bankrupt this nation on health care if we don't do something. Why does Rome have to be burned to the ground before people realize there's a fire burning?
Well, and this
is
something
so maddening to me.
That, Jim, that you and I were talking about in advance of this summit going on Thursday is why can't, because this is a very difficult issue to wrap your mind around. I mean, I've got Barack Obama's plan in my lap. I've got the GOP plan, different synopses of that sitting around here, and it's all confusing to me. But I think the American people, they owe it to the American people to define what they both have agreement on. Maybe not a strategy, but, you know, I've worked for chambers of commerce and city governments, and one of the big things in chambers is to do SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And a SWOT analysis, you don't define a strategy. You just kind of lay out the situation as it currently exists. So can we not agree upon where we stand? Because I hear the right, my friends on the right, saying, you know, in Washington, that yes, the healthcare system needs reforming. Well, what do you mean by that? What parts of it? Because everybody has different areas that they think, you know, need reforming. So,
well, if you listen to the right, they say that we need tort reform. They're not wrong. There is a tort reform that needs to be done. The president has not done that yet. I think that that is something he can come across and say, hey, we'll do this. But this is what the right wants. They want – They don't want this bill to pass at all. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to remember, this is not about health care and the right protecting the people. Mm-hmm. Because if the right wanted to protect the people, they'd have made Medicare a buy-in where anyone can buy into Medicare that wants it, and that's it. So they didn't want to do that. The Democrats don't want to do that. The Republicans don't want to do that. That's called health, universal health care for all. They don't want to do that. So what they want to do is destroy this president.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel that they can keep the left at home in the election, his base, if he fails to deliver on his cornerstone that he ran on. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the cornerstone that he ran on and what would get the base all upset delivers the mandate for him to get this done. It's why we have to do this. So we and here's something else you have to understand, and that is that, yes, there are people out there that don't like the health care plan. Then you ask them, well, why don't you like it? And 9 times out of 10, they give you some BS answer that some idiot's talking point coming from Boehner or Cantor or one of these other lunatics. Instead of saying, this particular provision I don't like, they'll say something dopey like, oh, well, it's socialism, or it's leading to socialism. Cantor actually said it the other day. He said that this gets the foot in the door for socialized medicine in the United States. So he's not saying...
Was Medicare not the foot in the door? I mean, come on.
Fought Medicare tooth and nail. And by the way, if you listen to Mark Rubio of Florida, and I would love to get him on the show, if you listen to Mark Rubio from Florida, he came forward and said the Republicans need to get honest about the fact that they need to eliminate Medicare and Social Security. This has been their answer to the entire thing. And this is why – hold on. Let me make a point, because I've got questions that are being asked on my screen here. And we're going to have to come back after the break. But when someone sits here and asks me how many pages the bill is, they're trying to act as if that is a negative thing. That's how detailed this is. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction. But where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Common Sense Economics Rule Number 11. If a corporation makes record profits in this economy, they can afford to offer basic health coverage to their employees. Walmart makes $25,000 in profit every minute. Gave their CEO an $8 million bonus, but still refuses to offer affordable health coverage to 700,000 employees, nearly half their workforce. America's largest corporation can afford to be a better employer. Now would be a good time to start.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514 from Washington, D.C., or really the entire eastern half of the United States. From the West Coast, you can reach us at 530-413-4511, 530-413-4511.
We are going on here about the health care proposal that's currently pending. Well, now it's multiple proposals. And what we have is we have a 2,000-plus page bill that passed. This is something that's very, very important. Health care reform in this country has passed both chambers of Congress. We have a 2,000-and-some-odd page bill that passed the Senate. we have a separate 2,000 and some odd page bill to press the house, to pass the House. The president has tried to reconcile these two bills with 11 pages. It's an interesting feat to do. It does make sense that you can do it in 11 pages because there's not that many page difference between the two bills. So moving things around and shuffling the chairs around makes sense. The attempt at this point is that the Republican Party, because they have made – and this is something that people don't may not know. For all the screams of lack of bipartisanship, there's over 150 Republican-sponsored amendments in both bills, in the Senate bill and the House bill. The Republicans would put forward an amendment. It would be discussed, and it was accepted or not, whatever the case may be. But this notion, you know, that, oh, my God, it's such a big bill. Well, how big was the Patriot Act, ladies and gentlemen? And they passed the Patriot Act in 48 hours. We've been dealing with that lemon for years. So this whole let's slow down. The Patriot Act invented an entire new agency and moved most of our inner defense agencies to under one umbrella, Secret Service, Immigration, FBI, Department of Justice, all of that under one umbrella, including FEMA. We saw what happened with that after Katrina, but I digress. The idea that you know, this has gone fast is ridiculous. Now the new mantra is we need to start over. The Republican Party hasn't been interested in starting over. They haven't been interested in health care reform since Richard Nixon proposed it in the 70s. There's no desire to do health care reform because they're in the pockets of the insurance companies. Let's be honest. The Republican Party, for the most part, protects the rights of those with money. Corporate interests, business owners, landlords, those are their people. The Democratic Party primarily is linked with the blue-collar workers. What the Republican Party has managed to do over the past several decades is get people to vote against their own interests. Unless you live in the state of Massachusetts or Hawaii, there's absolutely no – and assuming that you are a parent, there's absolutely no reason why you should be opposed to this health care proposal. None.
Can I just say as on the fact that the Republicans are so against socialized medicine, can I just say as someone who's lived with socialized medicine my entire life, I'm perfectly healthy. What is so wrong with it?
Well, first of all, you have to understand this is the problem. It's not socialized medicine. It's socialized insurance. And it's not even – socialized insurance would be getting rid of all the other insurance companies. So it's not even socialized insurance. This is what's so ridiculous about this.
Well, and, you know, you've got a WellPoint out there. So, I mean, it might as well be socialized insurance from corporate entities because Blue Cross Blue Shield's in every state and dominates, you know.
Well, that's monopoly. But – The whole thing. This is socialism is crazy. I just got a retort here that is telling me that the Patriot Act did not change our democratic society to a social one. What the heck do you think the FBI is? What do you think the Department of Justice is? What do you think the libraries are? The police department, the fire department, your taxation board, every single service you get from the government is by definition socialistic. Every single one is the society pays into a pool of which the government then doles out benefits, be it a fire truck to respond to your house if your house catches fire, be it an ambulance, be it a police officer, be it paving your roads. The entire Department of Homeland Security is by definition a socialistic plan. FEMA is socialism. When we send the Army Corps of Engineers in, it's socialism. The war is socialism. Everyone pays. The government makes the decision that to deploy these group of people overseas is in our best interest, and therefore, for the betterment of everyone else, we're going to go to war with this country. That is a socialistic idea. Whenever the government does for everyone else based on the tax revenue they've received, that is by definition socialistic. This ridiculous fight this country is having with, oh my God, it's socialism, as if that's something to be afraid of. If you don't want socialism, if you don't want a powerful federal government, we have that. You can go to it. It's in Afghanistan. It's run by warlords. Every little town has their own little thing. And look what happened. You need a strong federal government. Now, if the state governments would have followed Massachusetts or Hawaii and dealt with this problem, then okay. But when you have more, and this is what people don't get, more than 50% of bankruptcies in the United States are caused by medical bills.
And I think that is just, you know, that should not be. And when I say that, some of my fellow righties will say, well, people just need to quit buying big screen TVs and liquor and going on vacations and stuff. And I just, you know, okay, there might be a few people that do that, but we've paid in the past years sometimes more than what we annually pay for our mortgage on health care. And people go, oh, well, do you not have insurance? Yes, I have insurance. I have a high deductible health savings account that I have to pay $5,000 out of pocket, period, before I get any benefit. So, sure, if you're well, it's not going to be a big deal because you go to the doctor, you know, pay him a couple hundred dollars once a year, whatever. But I have epilepsy. And if I were to have a seizure and end up in the hospital, that's a pretty big bill.
Yeah, but why is your epilepsy my problem?
Well, yeah, see, that's what they tell them. See, that's what they say. And right. I just want to say, you know what? Screw you. You know.
Well, God hope that their prayers work and that they don't get sick. And you know, I'm having this argument where people are texting me messages and I'm responding back to them. And so one person says, no, that is democracy. Or it's democratic. No, it's not. Well, it is, but it's not, because it's a democratic implementation of a social program, which, by the way, so is the health care. It's being voted on by a legislature. People
well, and this,
elected.
This is another
– got to get off this ridiculous kick that, you know, big bad Barack is going to come in and impose his will on us people, his socialist, borderline communist – give me a break. People are
dying
out.
If this wasn't the will of the people, Barack Obama would not have won it in 2008. We would be seeing President McCain right now.
Of course not. And when you've got, you know, this subject comes up so many times. Now, there is something to be said that the American people can be swayed one way or the other. And
well, sure
here's, this is the truth. The vast majority of Americans don't need this. This is true. There's a large swath of the population that either have their own health insurance or believe they're not going to get sick and don't feel that they need this. But there's a lot of people out there, including a lot of kids, elderly, and disabled people, that do need this. And we will be back in 2 minutes.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life. But it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch. Go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was raised Irish Catholic. We had Jesus on one wall and JFK on the other. I've always had an impassioned love for this country, even when I disagree with it. So many people like to wrap themselves in the flag, forgetting what it stands for. That beacon of hope for people who had so little reason to hope. A people who believe that we could leave our children a world better than when we arrived. None of us are perfect, but politicians seem to have a knack for hypocrisy. It's because truth gets left behind when they arrive in Washington, choosing to win instead of doing the right thing. We've all seen the worst of our country. I would like to show my children the best. That's why I'm here.
Tune in to Common Sense with Jim Alger. www.getcommonsenseradio.com. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio, 202-580-8514, 202-580-8514 from Washington, D.C., or really the entire eastern half of the United States. From the West Coast, you can reach us at 530-413-4511, 530-413-4511.
And we are talking about we're supposed to talk about the healthcare summit on Thursday, which I don't really think is going to go anywhere. I think that it's really an exercise.
You know what? I think the president needs to man up and realize that he's not going to get this done with the Republicans' help.
Oh, I think what's happened here is the president has realized that. I think that there's one thing that the election of Scott Brown told him, and it wasn't Scott Brown per se being elected, because the problem with Massachusetts was foreseeable and preventable as far as the Democrats are concerned. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Scott Brown won that race because he was the better candidate and deserved to win that race. Now, send all your letters to Gen Z because I don't want to hear it. If Democrats want to win elections, they need to get out there and get off their ass and quit acting like, well, I voted on November 4th and it doesn't matter. Because it does. Whoever gets their people to the polls wins. The Republicans took it in the shorts in 2006, 2008. In all likelihood, I don't see Scott Brown being actually elected when it comes up for election. I just don't see it happening given the political dynamic. However, that political dynamic can change dramatically between now and then, and it's completely possible that they may elect Scott Brown. I think it's going to take more than a good job. I think the Democratic machine is going to target that seat for Ted Kennedy, and they're going to that seat means something to them. And so
I think the fact that it's gone to a Republican, I think Ted Kennedy will be turning in his grave.
But you know what? You know who Ted Kennedy should be pissed off at? Martha Coakley and the Democrats, who sat on their ass. They had BS arguments in the state of Massachusetts that aren't going to fly. Massachusetts has a version of universal health care. And the people who don't like it think universal – this is the problem with it. The people who don't like the Massachusetts plan – will think, oh my God, we have it here. I don't like it. The last thing I want this doing is going nationwide. The people who do like the Massachusetts plan say, I like my insurance. That's going to screw me up. I don't want it. So the idea that the Massachusetts electorate should be able to determine for the rest of the country what's going on, or that they're even an accurate sample of the rest of the country, is ludicrous. And if you look at any of the exit polling, and if you look at the internals, of course, it doesn't make any sense. The thing about the healthcare proposals is the more people learn about it, the more they like it. These 35% of people that support one or two of the bills, you then move forward and you say, okay, well, what if you knew X, Y, and Z? As they start to know more about it, that number switches. However, 53% of Americans still say they support healthcare reform. 56% of them, I believe, I could be lying on that number, it might be 54, came out and said that they wanted it to be held off until later on this year, but they still would be very upset if healthcare reform was not passed. Those people don't know what they're talking about, because you can't hold this off till later on this year. Everyone knows. Look, I've been a community organizer for years. And I've organized against things. I've organized against things for years. And the easiest way to defeat something is to stall it. It's just delay it and throw up delaying tactics. And when, you know, these people are yelling at me about democracy, the Republican Party won't even allow this to come to a vote. That's stymieing democracy. That's saying, no, we're not even going to have a vote on this because we're afraid we're going to lose, and therefore we're not even going to have a vote. Remember when the shoe was on the other foot and the Republicans started screaming up and down, up or down vote, up or down vote, up or down vote, we want an up or down vote?
Mm-hmm.
And they threatened the quote-unquote nuclear option to get rid of the idea of filibustering?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when that happened? And that was when the Democrats filibustered one time on one issue. These guys have done it over 150 times in the last year just to stop votes. They are stopping democracy. Now, don't be pissed at me because democracy doesn't work for you and it's inconvenient because you don't have the majority. Facts matter. If someone's going to oppose something, they're free to oppose it. But facts matter. And to quote Dick Cheney, you're not entitled to your own facts. And, you know, watching CPAC the other day was the greatest assemblance of white rage I've ever seen. It's just a whole bunch of white people in a room spouting off at the mouth. And let's face it, most of them are lunatics. And most of the people that are at CPAC, we know, are lunatics.
Now. I have lots of friends that were at CPAC that I think are very dear, lovely people.
There are two people that attend CPAC, the lunatics and those who are there to clinically observe the aforementioned lunatics.
Tim, that's a bit mean.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, a lot of the conservative bloggers and people like that that are there to report on it.
True conservatives, I don't have a problem with. But when Glenn Beck gets up there with his charts and he starts talking about how the government's not the answer to anything and the government's not even the answer to education, and I swear to God he actually said this. He said, I educated myself. I went to the library and read books where they were free. They're not free, you idiot! They're not free! The T paid for that library because they thought it was a great idea, get this, to pool their money together and to install a place where people could read books and educate themselves. Unbelievable that this guy would say this. Unbelievable. And it's just, you know where the first library was? It was in Boston, Massachusetts. And I forgot what the exact phraseology was, but basically that's what happened. They wrote in the actual thing that they felt that they would.
This has been Common Sense on behalf of Janie, Jensie, Natalie, Chris, Mike, myself, and the entire Common Sense crew. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, probably should
Common
have warned
Sense
about
airs
that.
Live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, with the internet feed stream beginning 5 minutes earlier, courtesy of BBS Radio. Episodes are available on demand via iTunes. For further information, visit the show's webpage at www.getcommonsenseradio.com. The Common Sense Radio Show would like to send a very special thank you to our engineer, Seth Hendrick, as well as our musical composer, Stephen Glossner. Until next week, stay safe, keep your head held high, and remember to always replace the spin with common sense. Take them home, Steve.